Coming up on KUCB News, the FCC is on its way to Unalaska, and the state is considering a carbon tax against companies that burn or produce fossil fuels. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics. Located in the airport cargo building, Redfish sells computers, Androids, iPhones, iPads, televisions, headphones, and unlocked phones. Business hours can be obtained by calling 359-2205.
Redfish, we got stuff.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Laura Craigle with some local news on Monday, August 6th, 2018. A major player at the Federal Communications Commission is due in Unalaska tonight. Brendan Carr will spend about 24 hours on the island to learn about the broadband challenges facing rural Alaska. The FCC regulates communications across the country, from radio and satellite to television and internet. Brendan Carr joined the agency as a commissioner last summer after the Senate unanimously confirmed his appointment by President Donald Trump. Since then, he's helped the Republican-led FCC to repeal net neutrality protections and spearheaded a $100 million program to expand access to telemedicine. Carr's short trip to Unalaska, however, is expected to be educational rather than policy-driven.
To get sort of a feel for the place, I don't think it's any more complicated than that.
Dan Boyette is a vice president at GCI. He says Carr will tour the telecom company's local facilities, along with the island's other providers, Optimera Wi-Fi and TeleAlaska.
He's a relatively new commissioner, and there's a lot of Alaska-based issues in front of the FCC at this point, so I think he's just looking to learn.
Those issues include how to develop infrastructure in rural areas and how to manage competitive federal subsidies that help pay for those projects. Overall, Mayor Frank Kelty says he wants to emphasize that Unalaska's slow satellite service affects everyone, from individuals and businesses to schools and the clinic.
I don't know if we're going to have enough time to do everything, but they can get made fully aware of the needs that we have in this community and the lack of conductivity.
Carr will be escorted by the staff of U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan, who encouraged the commissioner to visit the island during his first trip to Alaska. A Sullivan spokesperson says the senator heard about Unalaska's broadband struggles during his own trip in 2016 and thought this would be a, quote, perfect community for Carr to visit. The commissioner will stop in seven other communities during his five-day swing through the state, including Anchorage, Dillingham, and Ukiagvik. KUCB will host a live interview with Commissioner Brendan Carr tomorrow morning around 11:20. Then City Hall is holding a public reception where community members can meet the commissioner and ask questions. That event will run from 11:45 until 1 o'clock. Absentee voting starts today for Alaska's primary election. It'll decide who appears on the final ballot for governor, lieutenant governor, and U.S. representative, as well as a slew of positions in the state legislature. In this primary, the state provides two different ballots, and voters' eligibility for either one is determined by the party affiliation on their voter registration record. Unalaskans have until August 20th to cast their absentee votes at City Hall. Regular primary voting is set for August 21st, with the general election to follow in November. You can find a sample primary ballot online at elections.alaska.gov. Meanwhile, Unalaskans still have 10 days to declare their candidacy for local office. The filing period is open for three seats that'll be on the municipal ballot come October. The two city council spots are currently held by Alejandro Bongtungle and Sherry Coleman, while the school board post belongs to Tammy Fowler Pound. As of this morning, no one had filed to run for any of the seats, which all come with three-year terms. Prospective candidates must file at City Hall by next Thursday, August 16th. Unalaskans must also register to vote by September 2nd, a month before the polls open. You can register to vote at City Hall or online at voterregistration.alaska.gov. With help from a former Unalaskan, the world's largest collection of Yupik artifacts has finally arrived home in Quinnahock on the coast of the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. After shipping delays in Europe, the Nunalak artifacts returned last week in time for the opening of the community's museum. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur has more.
More than 60,000 artifacts arrived in carefully packaged crates on Tuesday. The items date from the 1670s during the Bow and Arrow Wars, remembered still today in Yupik oral history. They were shipped from the University of Aberdeen in Scotland, where they've been cleaned and preserved. Lead archaeologist Rick Connect teaches at Aberdeen. Over the past decade, he's led a team of local and international archaeologists to unearth the ancient items. The Quinnahock Native Village Corporation reached out to Connect after the artifacts began appearing on the coastal shore in 2009. As masks, carvings, baskets, and more have been revealed, the discoveries have ignited a renaissance of craft making in the community. The former elementary school has been converted into a preservation laboratory, as well as a cultural center and museum. Saturday, August 11th, Quinnahock will celebrate the museum's opening, the community's long history, and its nearly decade of hard work, and it will do so with the complete Nunalak collection on display. Reporting in Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Governor Bill Walker's climate leadership team met last week in Anchorage to discuss its draft climate action plan. Right now, it recommends that Alaska consider a carbon tax, a fee paid by entities that produce or burn fossil fuels, like oil companies. Lieutenant Governor Byron Malott is leading the group, and he says the state should study all possible ways to deal with climate change.
If a carbon pricing mechanism allows that to be responsibly done and does not increase the cost of energy to Alaska's residents and is done in a fair and equitable way, then that should be looked at.
The draft includes other ideas that would need funding, like helping communities plan for climate change and scientific research. Team member Chris Rose of the Renewable Energy Alaska Project says a carbon tax could help pay for that work.
You can call it a fee or a tax. It doesn't really matter. You've got to put some price on it. And then you can have revenues here in the state of Alaska either to develop other state programs and or make people whole who already have to pay really high energy prices.
But not everyone at the meeting agreed with that. Lorelei Simon is with the Usabelli coal mine.
I think a carbon tax is a horrible idea. I think it does nothing but redistribute wealth.
Carbon taxes have been proposed in other states and in Congress. But if Alaska went through with one, it would be the first state to do so. When the Climate Change Action Plan is finalized, the team will send its recommendations to Governor Bill Walker for consideration. Their goal is to complete that plan by September. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Laura Craigle, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.